It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. And everyone listening all over the world on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervie, and I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn. And today, as usual, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. And with me is just stunning, Carrie. What is with it? There's something growing on top of your head.
Yes, there
what
is.
That?
There is. I don't know.
It's Carrie like Kasem,
Cambodian
live.
Hair or something. Really nice.
Live.
Thank you. Thank
Where's
you.
Your headphones? I can't hear you.
I have an earbud in because I didn't want to ruin the hair today. Because I got my, I have my hair and makeup done. Because
really?
We have cameras
Why?
In here. Today.
Cameras.
Yeah.
What
Alan.
For? Why did you do that? Just for me? You're just, trying to impress me?
You know what? I was hoping you'd give me a raise. I mean, I'm just gonna.
That's what it is.
I'm and coming out with it.
I, if you can afford to put up your hair like that and do that beautiful makeup and look so gorgeous, you
Thank
don't
you.
Need a raise.
Oh man. You know what?
That's a lawyer talking. I can talk you out of anything you think you want. And we have such a great show today. There's so much going on.
Yeah.
And I say it's a great show, but it's a little bit of a depressing show. I might need to take some medication after the show because there are people that, aren't being treated right in this world. A lot of them.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that and some of the disputes that go on regarding these situations. And then later in the show, we have Jose Baez on, and we wanted to have Jose Baez on for a long time. He was the attorney for Aaron Hernandez, of course, who committed suicide in prison 5 days after being acquitted of a double murder charge after he had already been convicted of murder of Odin Lloyd, of course. He was the one that was murdered. And Jose Baez has written a book called Unnecessary Roughness Inside the Trial and Final Days of Aaron Hernandez. He's his attorney, and apparently he has the waiver, can speak about what he said, the attorney-client privilege. We're going to hear a lot more about what Jose and Aaron spoke about before Aaron committed suicide, and that's in the second half hour. Jose Baez is a very well-known trial attorney, controversial. He represented Casey Anthony in the 2011 acquittal of Casey Anthony, and he represented, of course, Aaron Hernandez. So that's in the second half hour. But the first half hour, we are going to talk about an issue that's near and dear to your heart. You've devoted so much time and so much energy in protecting the rights of older people,
yes.
elderly people who may not have all of the abilities to take care of themselves. Carrie Kasem has done so much to help out people based on what happened to your father.
That's right. And that's the last 5 years of my life have been dedicated to helping the elderly and their families stay together or vulnerable. You don't have to necessarily be elderly, but if you're a vulnerable adult, meaning you're sick, you're unable to care for yourself, there are predators. There's so many
predators
around. And
they're probably in the family.
They can be in the family. A lot of times they are family members, but some of the time they are not. They can be predatory lawyers, people with power of attorney, friends, whatever it may be. But yes, I've dedicated my life to Kasem Cares, and we get a lot of calls.
Yeah.
A lot of calls saying, please help me. I don't know what to do. I don't have a famous last name. I don't have any money.
Right.
I can't get a lawyer. What do I do? So we're the only, right now that I know of, the only foundation, the only nonprofit that runs a hotline. So people know that they can come there for, assistance, or if they just need to talk to somebody. Because it's very hard when you're telling somebody, hey, somebody has taken over my mom or my dad's life and won't let us visit.
People and that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Because the story is Nichelle Nichols. Now, you talked about people who are not famous, who may not have money, but Nichelle Nichols is really a remarkable woman.
Yes.
Being known for Star Trek, of course, for Nyota Uhura. You know, yeah. Of course, you know, I've never seen Star Trek, so I don't know.
He's from Canada, and I don't understand this. He uses this excuse all the time, which is unbelievable because
I have no idea.
I can't even. I'm going to have to come over to your house with some of these episodes and play it for your entire family because it's horrific that you don't know.
Well, I lived in an igloo, but one thing I do know is that she was groundbreaking, had a breakthrough role on Star Trek because it's really important. One of the first African-American female characters, and what a wonderful character it was in Star Trek during the 1966-69 period of time, height of the civil rights movement. And she really did so much for women. For women of color, for NASA. Do you say NASA or NASA?
You know, there's NASA.
I have a Canadian accent.
I would go with NASA.
Okay. Yeah. She was a singer with Duke Ellington and Lionel Hampton, and now she's 85 years old. Is that right, Angelique?
Yes.
And we are going to talk about the battle she is in with Angelique Fawcett. Now, do I say it right? Because in Canada we say Angelique, but here in the United States maybe they say Angelique.
Actually, it is Angelique Fawcett, but it's okay. I answer to both.
Okay, well,
I'll know it's you.
I will do an interview in the U.S. Angelique, and Angelique is a friend of Nichelle Nichols, and she is involved in this battle. And the battle involves, of all things, Nichelle's son, Kyle Johnson. And Kyle is, and you can tell us, trying to take control of Nichelle, claiming that Nichelle is not of sound mind, dementia, memory loss, executive functioning problems. And the case has gone to court. This is something, Carrie, that you're very familiar with because this is something that you do in terms of helping people so that their rights are not violated. But it is a fine line, and we want to talk about that, Angelique, how we can determine whether or not someone needs help and why these situations occur. So first of all, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you for having me, both of you. I really do appreciate it. And I just want to start off, first of all, just thanking Carrie, because in a time where, you know, no one likes to have a energy of desperation, but, you know, I was definitely getting close to that before my husband found Kasem Cares. And I just want to thank you for everything that you do for the elder and everything that you, Julie Belshi and Kathy Braun did for me in a matter of 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was at a point where I had called just about every attorney that I could possibly call in the city. And you guys jumped right into the action as if you were angels telling me, look, I'm going to help you. Don't worry about it. You know, and you led me in the right direction. And I met Troy Martin and Steve Hogan and Victoria Selena, who's helped me be able to fight this battle on behalf of Nichelle. So what you do is invaluable work. I mean, it helps not just the generation in front of us, our generation, but the generation after us. So I just cannot thank you enough.
You're very welcome. I've been there. I know what it feels like, the helplessness, the anger. And I just want to say, for people that don't understand, when you put somebody into a guardianship or a conservatorship, you strip them of all rights. And when I say this, I mean it. A dog has more rights than somebody under guardianship/conservatorship. It's like you're supposed to be basically a vegetable. But we see this criminal activity where people put people that are completely okay. And when I say okay, they might have slight dementia. They might be a little bit sick, but they still can take care of themselves, or they still can make decisions on their behalf.
Right.
And you see them being put under guardianship. Their houses are sold. Sometimes their animals are put to death. Everything that they own is gone. They can even change the will and estate plans. This is criminal activity, and nobody's doing anything about it. We see it in every state in the USA, every single state. It is not just here.
All right. I agree with what you're saying. However, as a lawyer, I need to look at the facts, and we have to weigh both sides. So first of all, with this case, Angelique, tell us how you got involved, because you're a friend of Nichelle's now. You're working for her in her interests, but at the same time, Kyle Johnson's her son.
Exactly.
How do you get involved where her son is pursuing the conservatorship?
I'll tell you, it hasn't been an easy decision to make. And it's something that I had to ponder on for about 2 months when it got to a certain point where I was realizing, okay, I'm going to have to share these videos. And you may or may not know, about 5 years ago, Nichelle was very ill. And it wasn't the stroke that was in the media. She got sick and she was in the hospital for something else. And after that, she was put into a rest home. Now, in that rest home, she was very upset. This is Nichelle Nichols, who's everyone's lieutenant or whoever people who watch Star Trek. And she's also a human being. And she's in the hallway with my husband and myself and saying, why am I here? Can't I get out of here? Please get me out of here. Please help. Now, me, I'm just a friend. Can't really do anything. So here I am telling this wonderful woman, I can't do anything but stay until closing with you. When she got out of that rest home, she came, to our house that evening. And that's when she made the video. And she wanted to make that video because she was upset that her son put her in a rest home. And she wanted to make sure that it never happened to her again. After the video was made and we're sitting in our, little family room and everything, she's saying to me, telling me, have my back as I've had yours. But I asked her, what do you want me to do with this video? And she's like, you'll know when to share it. She's like, people aren't going to listen to you necessarily. Now, I'm a producer, an executive producer, and, I work hard like anybody else. I'm a hardworking woman. She knows that, but the fact is that this is a celebrity and people aren't going to listen to me. They're going to listen to her.
That's right.
So she was very smart in that instance to do that, to request that,
yeah.
And I've kept it in my safe for 5 years.
Now, I know you released it. We have to take a quick break.
Sure.
I guess what the question becomes is, when can a person be able to be really effective in terms of communicating these thoughts if it's in a video, but can they function? Are they able to take care of themselves? And that becomes the question, a factual question versus what the desires and wants of the person is. I want to talk about that because I know you have a lot of insight into Nichelle and what she has been able to do or what she maybe can't do. And Carrie, I want to find out how you weigh that because, Kyle may have a point, but at the same time, we have to respect Nichelle's wishes
and
as well.
And I have something to say on that when we come back, so absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Gervie's Law. I'm here with Carrie Kasem, with Angelique Fossette, and we will be right back.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-513-2334. That's 800-513-2334. 800-513-2334. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
This fall, change your grass for the better with 10% off Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Lawn Food and Fall Weed and Feed at the Home Depot. Scott's feeds your lawn now to build strong, deep roots this winter and lush green grass next spring. Fall's the time to do it, and now's the time to save. With savings on Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Lawn Food and Fall Weed and Feed, 10% off now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Selection varies by store.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, lifting Murphy's Law to the highest level on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
That's great.
It's awesome.
I love Star Wars.
Star Wars. Look at him. Listen, Canadian.
Star Wars.
I get chills
when
I hear
the
music.
Yeah, it's really great. But we're talking about something really important. I'm Alan Gervie. This is Gervie's Law. I'm here with Carrie Kasem and Angelique Fossette. We're talking about the case of Nichelle Nichols, who was, and I love the way you say it, Angelique. Can you tell me, Lieutenant Uhura, how do you say it?
Lieutenant Uhura.
You said it right.
I did it okay?
You did it good, yeah.
Wow. My pronunciation is getting better and better as I stay in this country longer and longer. And she was just really had a breakthrough role in Star Trek. And, you know, there was that kiss, of course, that's famous, because I don't know a lot about Star Trek, but I do know about Captain Kirk, William Shatner, who's Canadian, by the way.
And he watched Star Trek.
Well, he was in it. And he kissed Nichelle Nichols. It's a beautiful kiss. If you haven't seen it, look on YouTube.
Did you watch it on YouTube?
Of course I did. I didn't, you know, I had to. It was, you know, it was
really... So wasn't it the first kiss between an African-American woman and a white dude?
Yes.
There you go.
First interracial kiss.
Wow.
It's amazing.
It was wonderful. Yeah. So Angelique, tell us a little bit about this legal battle that you are in. And again, I asked you before, because you are a friend, for people who didn't hear the first segment, Angelique is a friend of Nichelle Nichols and is fighting on her behalf for her independence, so that her son, Kyle Johnson, who's 65 years old, he's trying to get control of her estate, her money, and it's not, you know, obviously she's alive, but her possessions. There was something that said he wanted to sell her house and all of that stuff, and it is your information and your belief that she can take care of herself, even though she has some memory loss, but she shouldn't be forced into a conservatorship or a guardianship.
Right. She shouldn't be forced into it at all. And it's more than just her son. You know, there's a lot of unfortunate people. I should say it's an unfortunate situation around her. She's also her talent manager, which a lot of people haven't reported on since May. Her talent manager is accused of allegedly stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from her. So that's a huge part of it. I mean, there's so much elder abuse going on around her. And that particular individual still lives on her property.
Is that Gilbert Bell?
That's what his name is, yes. Yes.
You know, we see this. This is not unique. This is not a unique case. Unfortunately, like you said before, it is family members that take advantage. But it doesn't matter if she has mild dementia, you know, a little more, like, let's say something that...
memory loss.
You know, memory loss, Alzheimer's, Lewy body. It doesn't matter. If you have money and you want in-home care, like my father did, like so many that have the money to have in-home care,
right,
that should be granted to you. Your son should not be able to. Your daughter should not be able to say, Mom, you know what? We know you got all this money, but I want it. I'm going to put you under conservatorship, sell your house, take all your money, sell all your belongings, take it and put you in a subpar facility that you don't want to be in. That should be illegal.
Would he be considering the best interests of his mother? Is that what the argument is?
Let me tell you, Nichelle goes to conventions all the time. She was just at San Diego Comic-Con in July. She was just at Star Trek convention, which is the largest Star Trek convention in the world, in August. She's constantly going to these conventions. It's what keeps her alive. It's what keeps her going. You know, it in some ways helps her memory loss, because when she goes to these conventions, she's in her element. She gets to be with her fans, which she absolutely loves. She's not your typical person. I have to just say that. I mean, I've worked with 70 actors and all of them are wonderful and they all love their fans. But I have to say Nichelle is a little bit different. Now, if Nichelle is able to go to these conventions and still, you know, get up every day and bathe, shower, do certain things, you know, go around the house.
Sure.
I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor. So I can't say that she has dementia, but I do know that she has short-term memory loss. She might ask you 20 times, you know, where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going? If you're patient with her and you care about her, you're going to tell her this is where we're going. But once she's there, she knows where she is and she handles her situation.
And she communicates well. It's interesting.
Yes.
You bring up the doctor thing. So we would think that in court, I go to court a lot, we have to present evidence, and part of the evidence is medical evidence.
Right.
So you would think that the judge would like to review a medical report on her condition. Now, your claim, Angelique, is that the judge reviewed a report from a geriatrician, Dr. what is it, Mina Mahajani, who was not a psychiatrist, not a psychologist, and you're saying wasn't qualified to provide opinions regarding her ability to take care of herself.
Right.
So now let me tell you something. This happened to a woman that called us for help in Florida.
Yeah.
A gynecologist put her under guardianship. A gynecologist. Her sisters were not happy with the fact that their dad died and they gave the mom money, wanted the other sister's money, put a guardian. The guardians literally got rid of her car, her home. She could take her cat, and they put her in different facilities. She would always escape. And they said, okay, well, you can live in this motel. She called us and said, I don't know what to do. I can't get out of this guardianship. I don't have a driver's license. Wow. I can't get medical. I can't get anything.
What experts do you think should be providing these opinions?
Experts that do this all the time. So Dr. Trader was the guy who went in and spoke to my father. Of course, not with my father's wife, Jean Thompson Kasem. Removed her, right? Spent hours with my dad. So he felt comfortable. He wasn't, didn't feel like there was, he was under duress.
Yeah.
And he got the truth out of my father. Exactly. He wanted to see us. Not only did he want to see us, he wanted my sister making medical decisions on our behalf. There's a lot more I can't talk about because the wrongful death trial is coming out. We're going to get all of the information.
That's okay. And let's try it on Gurvey's Law right now.
We'll do it. I'll just tell you. Yeah. So there's a lot coming out, and I can't wait till it comes out. But, my father did tell Dr. Trader he wanted to see us. That was relayed to the judge. He not only told the doctor, he told the PVP attorney, he told his a lawyer, I want to see my kids. And Judge Leslie Green said, Casey Kasem wants to see his kids. Go out in the hallway and figure it out. Yeah. She couldn't make a call. She couldn't make a court mandated court order. She couldn't do it because there was nothing in the law books that allowed her to. So, we see this all the time. So judges will allow somebody who's a gynecologist to say, you know what? You're not mentally stable. We can put you under guardianship. That's how scary this country is getting.
My thing is that you come in, evaluate her. Get the correct evaluation. Don't just listen to what a conservator has to say. The conservatorship, which, when I was standing alone with this stuff, I knew something was wrong. I knew something was off. Here I have this videotape. Okay. The relatives know what's on the videotape. Her lawyer knows what, Michelle's lawyer, court-appointed attorney knows what's on the videotape. Everyone knows what's on it. I was on a list for the conservator to call. Don't you think she should have called me? If you really care about the person that you are overseeing, you're going to want to know what that person's desires are. Okay.
Now,
but this woman did not do that.
No. And so, none of them do because then they don't make money.
No, they don't make money.
They don't make money off of you.
It's a racket.
Because if they give the conservatorship to the right person, to, somebody who cares, and conservatorships and guardianships go to the wrong person all the time. But if you go in and the judge actually listens, which doesn't happen most of the time, listens to both sides, listens to the actual person that's going to be placed under conservatorship, which doesn't happen either. Now, Nichelle was sent out of town. This is my belief, and correct me if I'm wrong.
You're right.
Was sent out of town on the biggest day of her life, whether she was going to win or lose her freedom. Win or lose her freedom. And she was sent out of town to a Star Trek convention so she couldn't speak on her behalf.
Is that true?
Yes, that is very true.
Would she have been able to speak on her behalf and voice to the judge her perspective as to what was going on at the time?
She would have been able to go and speak to the judge. Yes, absolutely.
So what's going on now? Tell us. There's a temporary conservatorship.
Yes.
So Kyle Johnson has been, her son has been successful at least in getting a temporary conservatorship.
Yes.
They're going to be in court again coming up.
We are.
And what's going to happen?
So September 10th, I imagine that we're going to see if the conservator actually steps down or not. I have heard that she is resigning, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And if all I could do is shed some light on what I feel is going on, then good, because then that way she's protected. And let me address a question that you talked about with her son. I do not want to get into someone's family business, but when someone that I care about, who cares about me, loves me, I love them, has said to me, look, I need you to protect me when I get older. I need you to protect me if I get sick. Look out for me. Share whatever you need to share in order to make sure that I stay in my home. Well, then I'm going to keep my promise.
Yeah.
You know, Nichelle, not only did she give me away in marriage to my husband, she lent her name, her time, her love to help me produce my first feature film. Now, it might seem like nothing to anybody else, but producing a feature film, it's not huge.
It's unbelievable.
Like the name of our film.
film is called Unbelievable with 5 exclamation marks about Star Trek.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't want to really mix all of that because it's just, it is what it is. We do have Snoop Dogg and we have 42 Star Trek stars. It took a tremendous amount of, although she's an honorary co-producer, she lent her love. Whenever there is issues, you could go and talk to Nichelle. But we've been there, good times, bad times, indifferent. And, like I said, when I make a promise to someone, I'm going to stand up. Now, our culture says, don't get involved with someone's family business. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. Not that I wanted to do this. I actually waited. I waited 2 months since the last court date, and I talked to the relatives. I said, please, I just hope that you will honor her wishes. Please just honor her wishes. So I don't have to show this video. I don't don't have to take this to the judge. I don't have to do all that. But that wasn't happening.
Angelique, we only have a minute and a half. Tell us what you plan on doing and what you can accept. Because I understand what you're saying. You want to do the right thing. Regardless of what people say about family and everything, you want to do the right thing. What's going to happen?
Well, I'm hoping that Nichelle will have the ability to stay in her home, that she will have the ability to continue working and make money so that she can save her estate. She deserves the dignity of life as she wants to live it on her terms, not what somebody else chooses for her. Now, whatever happens, if the son becomes a conservator, that's fine. As long as Nichelle is taken care of and safe and protected, then people don't have to hear my mouth.
He wants to sell off her house.
Yeah.
He wants, I mean, it's quoted in here. He wants to get rid of her and put her in this is allegedly, put her in a home. That's not her best interest.
Right.
Sometimes the family doesn't have the best interests in mind. So whoever has the best interest, when you're a conservator or guardian, and I know we have to go, but when you're a conservator, you become that person. And people don't realize that. You do what they would want, not what you would want.
Yeah,
That's very important.
I think that is very important. And I think we have to have a good justice system when it comes to this. And they have to weigh the evidence and hopefully side, if they can, on behalf of the person who may not have the voice that they want to have.
Aging in your home is what most people want. They don't want to be stuck in a place they don't know, people that they don't know, people around them. They don't want that. And, do you?
And
I don't.
And I just have to tell you, during this time, she was placed back into a rest home. Okay? So you have to understand, from my point of view, her wishes aren't being acknowledged. She was placed back in a rest home against her will. It's not what she wanted. They snuck her out, got her out in the middle of the night. You know, it's just not right. It's not right. You don't play with someone's life like they're a rag doll. That's all.
Angelique Fossett.
Thank you.
Yeah, we want to thank you for being with us on Gervie's Law today. And we wish you all the luck as you pursue what you believe is the right thing to do.
Thank you so much.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you're listening to Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie. She's Carrie Kasem. We will be back after this with Jose Baez, the attorney for the late Aaron Hernandez, after this.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. Former President Barack Obama appeared today at a Democratic rally at the Anaheim Convention Center. He told the crowd the upcoming midterm elections are, quote, a consequential moment in our history, adding, in 2 months, we have a chance to restore some sanity in our politics. The rally is intended to boost the chances of 7 California Democratic congressional candidates seeking to capture GOP seats in Washington. Orange County Sheriff's authorities continue to look for a missing 11-year-old San Clemente girl. Deputies say Kaya Fina was last seen Thursday around 10:30 p.m. and was reported missing the following morning. Detectives believe the girl is with her mother, Sarah Fina, who is possibly driving a black 2007 BMW X3 with California license plates. KABC SoCal weather, sunny this afternoon with highs from around 80 at the beaches to the upper 80s to mid-90s inland. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, KABC News.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Have you been lied to? Lied to by Washington politicians and the Wall Street propaganda machine? Hi, I'm Inc. Magazine best-selling author Brett Kitchen, and if you're over 55 with an IRA or 401k, I want to give you a free copy of my new book, Wealth Beyond Wall Street, because according to Time Magazine, Wall Street's 401ks have failed millions of Americans. After losing 35% in my IRA and the crash years ago, I said enough. And since then, I discovered a way to grow money potential double digits, reduce taxes dramatically, and also have my money protected when the next stock market crash hits. When the next market crash hits, you lose nothing. nothing. Call Wealth Beyond Wall Street now to get your free book and talk to a specialist to discover this little-known strategy to get potential double-digit growth during good years and never lose in the market crashes. Call 1-800-238-1919 to discover this asset that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney use to grow wealthy. Plus, when you call right now, you get free shipping and handling, no credit card required, and I'll send you a free copy of the audiobook so you can listen in your car. Call 1-800-238-1919. 1-800-238-1919. That's 1-800-238-1919.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. Carrie, can I take this damn makeup off?
Makeup off.
I can't even talk because I have all this makeup on me.
I did. We had, you know, the cameras in here for 48
hours. Yeah, 48 hours was here, and I got makeup all over.
Yeah, you look good, though. You look good with the makeup.
Maybe I should wear makeup every day.
Hey, look, it's the trend now.
You know, if I'm in court and I'm arguing a case in court and I have the makeup on, I'm sure I'm going to win every time.
Yeah, I agree. I think it, you know, just, and we need a little highlighter on your cheeks.
Well, you did a good job, and I thank you for putting the makeup on me and my hair. You did my hair. It's not as good as your hair, but that's exciting. That 48-hour piece is going to be, it's fun. Well, we'll
I want to say, well, it was fun today. I don't know what, you know,
it was fun.
You never know, and it's not a fun thing to do to tell your story again, but today was fun because we got some awesome guests. And
We'll see. And speaking of an awesome guest, our next guest, Geraldo Rivera, actually called him one of the greatest trial lawyers of all time. Barbara Walters said, this is a very smart lawyer. He's well known for a number of really big cases, important cases. 2011 Casey Anthony case. He defended Casey Anthony, of course, defended Aaron Hernandez and got the acquittal on a double murder 5 days before, unfortunately, Aaron Hernandez committed suicide. We want to welcome to the show Jose Baez. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you for having me, folks. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you, Jose. There's so much going on with your new book coming out, and the book is Unnecessary Roughness Inside the Trial and Final Days of Aaron Hernandez. It just came out, and it's a great read. I got to ask you, because a couple weeks ago on our show, we had John Henry Brown, who was the attorney for Ted Bundy, and Ted Bundy had signed a waiver before he was put to death as a serial killer. You talk all about what we typically consider attorney-client privilege information. How are you able to do that in the book and in the media?
I also did a waiver with Aaron prior to him passing after the trial, and that's how I was able to do it.
Now, you say you did a waiver. You had no idea what was going to happen, obviously, that he was going to take his own life. At what point did you think that you would divulge some of this information to the media and in your book?
You know, one of the things that we considered and we discussed was after the, while the jury was deliberating, we felt really confident about the outcome. We had delivered a strong case. One of the things about Aaron is he was always looking ahead and thinking positively about the future. We said, okay, we're going to try and move our focus next to the appeal. And I'm a firm believer that if it's ever a close call, the judges are human, and they need to have, if you have a hated client, it's going to make it that much more difficult. So one of the things we started discussing were things that could be done to change the narrative in the court of public opinion for him. And we talked about all kinds of projects. He had been approached for documentaries, films, all these different ideas. And one of the things that I explained to him that I couldn't participate unless, of course, you know, we discussed a potential waiver, and in the process of that, he also received independent counsel to review the waiver, and he did, and I had no idea we would end up where we're at, that's for sure.
Imagine.
There was nothing that led you to believe that he may do something like that, take his own life? There was nothing?
Nothing whatsoever. And that's the thing about CTE. It's looking back, we discussed his headaches. He had tremendous headaches all the time, some memory loss. So there were times he was sharp as a tack, and there were times he would just forget, be like, hello, wake up. Yeah. And other than that, I mean, I didn't ever see anything that would lead me to believe that. Now, of course, you hear other witnesses and other people say certain things, and you wonder, if true, could those have been signs? But I'm of the belief that CT is something that manifests itself in various ways depending on the individual.
Now, of course, the CTE wasn't clearly diagnosed until after his death. It was stage 3 CTE. When you were dealing with him throughout the trial and afterward, did you have any indication? Did you think about it? Because CTE was really right in the public eye. The movie Concussion had come out. What makes, when you're a lawyer, when you're dealing with your client, do you ever think, hey, there is something not right, and it's probably because of blows to the head from football?
It's kind of interesting because there was a time we got on the case, and I think it was 6 to 8 months the judge forced us to go to trial, and I needed more time. This was a high-profile case, which means it's going to have tons of discovery. There were about 35,000 pages of documents we had to review.
Wow.
Hours of video and audio, and you know, it was a monster of a case that involved a double homicide plus another shooting, which essentially was another murder case in another state. And this judge was not budging. So one of the things we thought of was, you know, hey, let's say we want to get him a CAT scan, and that will delay things. That will, you know, he can't really deny us that if that's something we wanted. But then, you know, I started to think about it a little bit more, and our defense was one of innocence, not one of mitigation. And the last thing I wanted to do was taint the jury pool by letting reporters write that we were potentially going to come up with some type of mental health defense or CTE defense.
You know, it's such an interesting, I'm just saying, Jose, it's such an interesting point you bring up that a lot of lay people don't understand these dilemmas that attorneys have when you're going to go one way or the other. Either there's innocence or you're going to do this kind of trying to produce the evidence that will mitigate or exculpate. And that's a tough decision. Was it as tough as you're describing it is, or was it pretty clear to you?
It wasn't tough at all because he had a great case. Three witnesses placed him somewhere else. The main witness against him was a snitch who had his own bag of issues, and we had already caught him in many, many lies. So we were going to go in there, you know, typical old school going after the snitch, and that's what we did. So that part wasn't difficult. We were really just considering using the CAT scan as a ploy to get more time.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things that I had to weigh it, and I made the call. I'm like, no, let's go. But here's the thing. The CAT scan wouldn't have been able to pick it up anyway.
No.
Right.
So
you can only see that after death, right? An autopsy done after death.
Correct. Correct. I mean, there's some minute things that you might be able to tell with the CAT scan, but it would never be confirmatory or usable in a defense unless the person died.
Now, are they working?
At that point,
are they working on ways to come up with tests to figure this out? Because this is
yes.
I mean, it's a terrible thing. And if it can make somebody do things that I don't know, you know, it's very hard with their Hernandez case. I don't know, you know, and my question that whenever we have attorneys on that deal with cases like yours, I always ask, and I don't usually get the answer, but I always ask.
I think Jose will give you the answer.
You think so? If you're in this and for some reason halfway through or, you know, you find out, wow, this person did it. This person's a terrible person. What do you do?
Here's the thing. That's not your call to make. You know, I mean, there are certain decisions that a client has and certain decisions that you have. And the client has two rights. One, whether or not to testify. And two, whether or not to plead guilty or not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the strategy is all on the lawyer. Midway through, that's not the issue. The issue is challenging the evidence. Ensuring that the evidence is put to its test, because you never do know. There's some cases where, yeah, you're pretty sure, but you never really do know. I mean, I don't ever want to find myself in a position where I think a client's guilty and I take my foot off the gas and it turns out he's innocent.
Right.
So to do that, I go all out with every case, regardless of what the circumstances are, because that's what my oath requires me to do.
Now, you've been on record as saying that your last conversations with Aaron were just normal. He had a sense of humor. He treated you like a brother, like an older brother. When we talk about the three letters that you released, you know, the book deals with it, aren't there some who say that if you read through the lines, and they're fairly difficult to comprehend exactly what was going on in his mind, one being to his fiance, one being to his daughter, and one being to you, couldn't someone understand those letters to say, I'm leaving this world?
Not the one to me.
Not to you, but the other two.
Right. Correct. And that's exactly what they were. And one of the things when I, even though I had Aaron's release, I wanted to make sure that his family was okay with me releasing those letters. And we discussed it. And Shayana, who was his fiance, really wanted people to see the change from my letter to theirs so that people can identify and see a concrete example of what CTE does to a person. She's all about if this can help someone else or save someone's life further down the road, so be it. She's already been through a lot, already been embarrassed a lot, already been to hell and back. So it's time to try and turn Aaron's legacy into something positive. And that's what I think was her motivation behind allowing me to do that.
You know, there were other rumors and there were things said about Aaron maybe being gay or bisexual and that maybe he couldn't live with that. Do you think that that played a role in the perspective that people saw, not from what you're saying in the book, from your personal perspective of what you saw, but from why others think that maybe he took his life?
You know, I think that's a subjective, deep guess. And I tend to rely a little bit more on the science. And if we look at CTE, there's a direct link between CTE and suicide. You got all these other players and athletes that have committed suicide or attempted to, and I think that's more in line of what if in fact a person is gay, they're gay all their life,
yeah.
And they've been dealing with it all their life. So it's not something they just, you know, a light turned on and they just can't deal with it. I don't think that's the case here at all. I think this was the CTE that's directly related to his suicide and really nothing more.
We have to take a break, Carrie, but I do want to ask Jose after the break. It's interesting he says that, and I think, you know, there are a lot of examples of Junior Seau, David Duerson, some of the other players that have taken their life. Then there's the other school that says, well, maybe that's an excuse. And I want to know where you draw the line, especially when you're talking with a criminal attorney, when they're defending someone who's accused of these heinous crimes, when you can use something like this as an excuse and when you should be responsible for your behavior. But we'll talk about that after the break. We're talking to Jose Baez, attorney for Aaron Hernandez. The book is Unnecessary Roughness, Inside the Trial and Final Days of Aaron Hernandez. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We'll be right back.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
At Fidelity, we believe nothing should come between you and your money. So we're introducing zero account fees with zero minimums to open an account. All because we want you to invest with zero trade-offs. Visit fidelity.com/value to learn more. Zero account minimums and zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Expenses charged by investments such as funds and managed accounts and for commissions, interest charges, or other expenses for transactions may still apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC.
Get to Macy's Labor Day sale and save up to 65% with our lowest prices of the season on furniture, mattresses, and rugs. Like the Jolene two-piece sectional, lowest price $999. Monroe queen bed, lowest price $289. Beautyrest Sunnyvale firm queen mattress special, lowest price $397. Plus, get a free adjustable base with your luxury mattress purchase right now at Macy's. Savings off sale prices. Exclusions apply. Sale ends September 15th.
In 3, 2, 1.
Coming up on the next drive home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, we'll see if we can find out who President Trump's deep throat is.
Excuse me?
And then related news, they're having Monica Lewinsky back on A&E for a docuseries on President Clinton.
I thought we discovered it was Stormy Daniels. No? No? Oh, gosh. So many porn stars, so little time.
Live and local, right after Dr. Drew and Lauren Sabat on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law. Still thinking about what can go wrong? Instead, let's get excited about what can go right on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we're back. We're talking to Jose Baez. As Barbara Walters said, this is a very smart lawyer. He wrote the book on Casey Anthony, Presumed Guilty, Casey Anthony, The Inside Story, represented Casey Anthony, and now the book is called Unnecessary Roughness, Inside the Trial and Final Days of Aaron Hernandez. Before the break, Jose, I was mentioning about defending someone accused of a crime and when you can talk about something like CTE as being responsible and when someone should be responsible for their own actions. Because the science isn't developed to the point where you can go to court and prove the CTE to a court of law, to a jury, to a judge, we do obviously have a lot of information about people who have died and we've looked at their brains. Don't you think that some people are skeptical of your position defending Aaron Hernandez, saying that it's a brain injury and that he really could have been responsible for some of his actions?
Well, that's not what I say in the book. I, as it relates to the book, what I'm very clear about is I believe the evidence is clear that he was not guilty and completely innocent of the double murder in Boston. So I lay out the case. It's really, the book is many books into one, really. I mean, it has a legal thriller aspect where I break down the evidence and I go over my experiences in the case and some of the things that I encountered, which are some of the most bizarre situations I've ever come across. In addition to that, I go out and I address the Odin Lloyd case. Now, I wasn't involved in the Odin Lloyd case, but I did look over the file. I looked over the facts. I knew some of the parties. And I have a reasonable doubt as to whether he committed that because they went in Boston. They went under the joint venture theory, which basically says he was present and he committed some overt act. So I think given the situation and given the circumstances that aren't exposed, I lay out in the book also where I find reasonable doubt in the Odin Lloyd case. But I don't go so far as to say Aaron did not shoot Odin Lloyd.
Although, of course, no one knows who pulled the trigger in an Odin Lloyd case. That was never discovered.
Exactly. But I remind people of that. And if you look at the circumstances surrounding Aaron's life at that time, it puts a lot of the evidence that was used against him into context, and it explains much of it away. So I leave it up to the reader to decide if they have a reasonable doubt, and then people can base their own conclusions. I do go far on the Boston case because that was just so clear to me, given all of the circumstances surrounding it.
Why didn't you call Bill Belichick to testify in the double murder Boston case? I know you've been critical of New England Patriots. They've refused to comment. You talked about Tom Brady and how he really did try to keep Aaron Hernandez straight, so to speak. You know, some people would say Robert Kraft and New England Patriots are too powerful to bring into something like this.
Well, you know, I'm critical of the way they handled one situation. But the facts are the facts, and that's just my opinion. And I lay it out and I say, look, if an employee comes to me and tells me I'm in fear for my life, I'm not going to just brush it off the way they did and tell them to go get another apartment. I think I would take it a bit more seriously. I think I would document quite a bit of it. I would perhaps get the authorities involved. There's any number of issues and any number of ways that they could have handled it. And the way they ended up handling it is just not the way I would. That's how I address that. I mean, I don't, you don't get anywhere in this business backing down powerful people.
I would say that you're one person in particular who doesn't back down to anyone, but, you know, Bill Belichick, were you concerned about what he might say and how it might affect the testimony?
Are you on the
murder case?
I would have called him.
Yeah.
If I would have called him.
Yeah.
Well, we considered calling him to discuss certain things, but the problem was it was a nightmare trying to get him served. We finally did get him served, and when he was in Miami visiting their pro day. So it would have delayed the trial, and we could have forced them to come in, but the way our case was going was going too strongly for us to
you didn't need him.
Slow things down. We didn't need him, and I wanted the jury to get the case before they forgot a lot of the good evidence that had come in for us.
I have a question about the Casey Anthony case, if I can talk. I know the
question before you ask.
Have
I seen her, or what's she up to?
No, actually not at all. I know. Yeah. I want to know if you were surprised by the outcome. I want to know if you...
Oh.
No, I'm serious. You get in there. You're the underdog. Nobody's on your side thinking this guy, there's no way. And the case starts to turn around. You start to, like, you're, you know, a hero in this to her and to, you know, her family or some of her family. And all of a sudden, you're winning this thing. Did that surprise you in any way?
Are you asking about at the conclusion of the case when they were deliberating or in the beginning?
I would start to say kind of like through the case and kind of where you've maybe got your momentum and you're like, wow, we may have a chance here. Did that surprise you?
Okay, let me walk you through. Before the case started, I knew we were going to rattle some major cages here. It was not going to be the slam dunk that everybody thought it was going to be. So I worked my tail off in that case, and I practiced my opening statement multiple times for weeks, and I was ready. So I knew when I sat down after openings that I was going to crack a dent in their case. And then as the case started, I thought the prosecution did a very good job in presenting their case, but things started getting better for us once we exposed the family dynamic. That was going to take a while. I believe when Cindy Anthony first took the stand, the first couple of times, she was very sympathetic, and so was George Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
But the more they got up there, the more, as the trial drew on, the jurors got to see just how dysfunctional this family was and just how bizarre their behavior was. And if their behavior is that bizarre, our defense and Casey's behavior kind of fell right in line with that. So once that started happening, I felt really confident. Let me rephrase it. I felt better.
Okay.
And towards the end, when they were deliberating, I truly believe they were not going to convict her on the murder charges, although I was very concerned about the lesser included offenses. And there were 13 of those.
Right.
So, I definitely didn't spike the ball before we were in the end zone.
Right.
Using a football analogy, we only have a couple.
I can't get away from the football now.
No, you can't. Quickly, we only have a couple minutes. The James Patterson book that came out called All American Murder: The Rise and Fall of Aaron Hernandez. When you compare your book to James Patterson, and you know, it's funny that he would write a book on Aaron Hernandez, how do you differentiate? Obviously, you had the inside scoop, so to speak, and James Patterson was looking at it from afar.
It's night and day. Patterson's is about basically regurgitating all of the news reports that have been out there and putting them into a story format. Whereas mine is, like you say, it's an insider's perspective. I was in specific places. I can describe certain conversations. I can talk about things that no reporter knows about. And that's significant, especially when you want to know what was this person really like.
Yeah.
And that's what I think this book does, is it gives you a completely different view of Aaron Hernandez, flaws and all, but at the same time, his qualities and certain things that certain truths about his case that there's no room for the facts in the headlines.
You know,
and that's what I try to lay out.
Carrie and I always ask, we're in Hollywood here, so we always say, what about a movie option? I mean, when you talk about a movie, this is something that has intrigued so many people on so many different levels. Love it or hate it. Are you talking to anyone, or is it too soon after your book was just released?
I don't think there's much of a market for someone for these types of cases where for these types of stories where someone ultimately ends up being innocent or potentially innocent or the person looks favorable. Everybody wants this individual to be a bad guy. And that's the story, and that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
That's what Hollywood looks for.
That's
so when if if there's ever an Aaron Hernandez movie, I can guarantee you the story will be the same that everybody's already told a million times. And that is, the guy who had it all was a thug and a gangster and threw it all away for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the story, and no one will ever tell a more complex or a more fact-based story about him. And that's the same for my previous cases as well.
Yeah.
You know, in Casey's situation, it's the same exact thing. No one wants her to be sympathetic. They like the girl next door who turns out to be a killer.
Yeah.
That's what sells, and that's what they want.
You know, if people want to see the inside story from your perspective, the book is called Unnecessary Roughness: Inside the Trial and Final Days of Aaron Hernandez. You know, Jose, we've run out of time. We'd love to have you on again because we want to talk again about your background. You have a fascinating background, how you got to where you are, how you are defending the people that you are, what you started out of school with your problems at school and everything. It's a fascinating story. So hopefully you can make the time to come back and visit with us again and talk maybe about Jose Baez, the lawyer.
It would be my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being with us. What a show, Carrie. Okay, you have a great day. We had an awesome show. Yeah. 48 hours. That was what
Nichelle Nichols, Angelique Fawcett,
and Jose Baez. Thanks for listening. We'll see you and hear from you next week.